Welcome back, everyone, to our advanced class. We're talking about a subject that interests a lot of people all over the world, wherever you live, the housing market. The housing market is a good topic, and we have the same people with us that we had yesterday that visiting us from Seattle. Welcome back. Are you glad to be here again?
Yes, thank you for having us.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's reintroduce ourselves today. I know I'm your teacher, Doris, and who else is here today?
I'm Lexi, and I'm excited to be back for a second day.
Was this your first time to be on the radio with us then?
It is, yes. Yesterday was.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Hi, I'm Celeste. I'm happy to be here today.
Did you find out anything yesterday that'd be kind of interesting for people to know?
It was interesting to see all the reasons why people choose to live in Seattle, and some of those reasons were the good schools, the clean air, and the beautiful natural resources.
Well, why do you like to live in Seattle?
For all those reasons. I love being around the water.
Me too. Yeah, you really love the water when you're in Seattle. In fact, even here at Studio Classroom, I have all of our teachers learn to be scuba divers. I give them lessons. They go out and have lessons because there's so many places to go in the water. And the water is so beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, and Colleen, why are you staying in Seattle?
I stay about 20 miles north of Seattle in a town called Everett. Mm-hmm. Everett is the place where Boeing's. Mm-hmm. is located, and I live about maybe 5 minutes from where they make all the big Boeing airplanes.
So you like living in that area, though. We say the Seattle area.
Seattle area, yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I do.
And you enjoy the seafood. I like the seafood and the clams and the
salmon.
Salmon.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
We have wonderful seafood.
Making us hungry. Well, Michael, how do you live in Seattle? Near Seattle anyway, yeah, not too far away.
Yes, ma'am. I live near Seattle.
Okay, now, how long have you lived there?
I lived there for a little over 10 years.
Oh, where did you live before that?
I come from Texas.
Texas, oh my goodness, that cattle country down there, huh?
Yes, ma'am, lots of beef.
How does Texas compare to Seattle?
Texas is it's very wide open. I come from basically where your neighbors are kind of a drive from you.
Yeah, that's true. Texas could be like another whole country. It's so big, isn't it?
It is. It's very large.
But you're kind of used to Seattle now, are you?
Yes. I love the weather. I love the clean air. It's a lot cooler, which is great for me. I can't do the heat anymore.
Well, that's good. But, well, you get used to the heat if you live in it. But, you know, Seattle is a nice place for the climate, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're glad you're here with us again. And you're all now students. And what are you studying to be?
Nursing.
Nursing. And you're going to be a nurse?
Yes, ma'am.
My goodness, isn't that great? Wow. And then you girls, you're going to be nurses too, huh?
That's the goal.
You never know where you're going to end up in the world, right? Well, thanks for bringing them along with us, Colleen. And you've come back to be in Studio Classroom maybe every year now, right?
Yes. This is my third year to be in Taipei, Taiwan, with my nursing students. They're seniors.
Well, it's good for them to be on the radio.
Yes.
Something should be in their curriculum. Yeah,
yes.
Right. And you're their teacher, right?
That's correct.
You're doing a good job on the radio.
Thank you.
So as we look at the lesson that we had yesterday on page 32, there were a lot of good words that we wanted to remember. I think one of them is the word trend, because it's trendy now for people to buy a house and then try to use it for an investment. We didn't used to do that. We just bought a house because we wanted to live in it. So that's a trend, isn't it?
It's a very popular thing now.
Well, what else did we find out yesterday as we read this on page 32? We found out that things are getting more expensive in Seattle. Anything else?
It's a good return on your investment. Should you purchase now, you are likely to make a profit.
And if you purchased about 20 years ago, you could make a lot more, couldn't you?
But it's also more affordable than other cities like San Francisco and New York. Vancouver, British Columbia.
And those are nice cities. And they're on the water, too. They're nice cities, but they are even more expensive. And so I think it's kind of good that you're staying there in Seattle. So say hello to Seattle for me when you go back, right?
We will.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And it's been interesting, some of the things that we have learned. But we're talking about people who do this kind of business. What do we call people that who sell things and buy houses and property? What do we call that?
Brokers.
Real estate brokers.
Real estate brokers. Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones that, that deal with buying and selling of property and homes and things like
yes.
that. Right. It's a big business now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Very much so.
In every country, throughout Asia, it's a big business in every place. And some people from Seattle go down to Australia and buy property, and people are doing that all over the world. So that's what we're going to talk about, though, the Seattle's housing market. So now open your magazines to page 33 today, and we're going to talk about something here. What is the title of this paragraph that we're going to talk about now?
The title is A New Social Phenomenon in an Intense Housing Market.
Well, now I think we should explain that a little bit before we even read it. What is a social phenomenon, Michael?
Well, let's break that down. Social phenomenon. Social basically is your community, the people you live with. And phenomenon is a series of unique events or
unusual things, aren't they?
It is pretty unusual. It's usually not a common occurrence.
Right, strange things. Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. Well, so it's an intense housing market. So there's some things that are happening now that are really strange socially, and that's what we're going to read about. That'll be kind of fun, won't it? Be interesting? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take the very first column today on page 33.
A new social phenomenon in an intense housing market. Recently, someone asked point blank if I was interested in selling the little farmhouse I've owned for 12 years. Some friends came for dinner, and I realized that what they were really hungry for were the keys to my place. For most of the meal, they told me of their struggle to buy a house in the Wild West town that the Seattle housing market has become. I nodded sympathetically. Then the wife looked me square in the eye. Are you interested in selling your house? No, I told her. Days later, I received a letter from a managing broker at Windermere Real Estate. My customer is interested in your specific property, she said, and then laid out the terms. Buyer will pay all commissions, property to be sold as is, all cash buyer. I get that it's bad out there, but would you mind if I finish living here before you start packing up my books and hanging your flat screen?
Well, this idea here of finding out something, we like to ask questions. Now, if I meet people and I ask them a question, I might kind of, we could say another phrase, to beat around the bush. I don't say exactly what I mean. That's kind of the Chinese way of doing stuff. You don't just, how much money do you make? We don't say that. Well, do you have enough money to live on? Well, I don't ask you how much. You can say, oh, yeah. Well, I don't say how much. That's too point blank, see? But sometimes foreigners are a little more point blank. Do you think so, Colleen?
I do. I know that in my experience, Americans are more direct mm-hmm. in what they say to people.
You don't want to make people lose face. See, if you say something, it's embarrassing. If I say, well, how much money do you make? And you don't make very much, and you're kind of embarrassing. So I don't want to embarrass people. And then they lose face.
That's correct.
So they try not to be point blank. In fact, even if they want people to leave their job, they don't always just say, you're fired. Or don't come back anymore. They might say, well, now we can't use your services, and they kind of beat around the bush, as we say. You know what they used to do many years ago in China? In Chinese New Year, they had this feast, and if you're going to be fired, they point the chicken's head on the chicken that's cooked on the table and point it to you, and then you should quit, otherwise you're going to be fired. Because they don't want you to lose face. So that's going to the other extreme, isn't it?
Yes. Very interesting.
Isn't that pretty interesting? But Americans are more point blank. Okay, pick up your check. You're out of here. That's pretty point blank. So it says here, I asked somebody right off or point blank. What did they ask them anyway? What did they ask them?
They were very direct in asking if they would sell their house to them.
Okay, they're interested in selling this little farmhouse. It's a very small farmhouse, and he's owned it for about 12 years. Well, how did this happen? What happened there, Lexi?
So his friends came over for dinner, and he realized that they were there not to, says they were really hungry for the keys to his place. So they weren't actually there for the meal. They were more there and had a strong desire to buy his house from him.
So they didn't come there to eat. They came to find out if the house was for sale. So they were hungry for the keys to my place. Now, they weren't going to steal them. They wanted to buy it, right? But they said, I want to find out more about if your place is for sale. So sure, I'll come over for dinner. That's kind of a strange reason to come to dinner, huh?
That is, yes.
Yeah. But they were pretty interested in it. Well, then what happened then during the meal when they were talking then, Michael?
They were struggling to buy the house. They were talking, that's a Wild West town in the housing market in Seattle. That's kind of an unusual phrase.
When you
think about the Wild West, you know, a lot of people think of cowboys and Indians and the lawlessness. But I believe this refers to basically the excitement, the explosive expansion of the housing market, how quickly it's ramping up and just the excitement circling.
The Wild West, you know, they started buying things and property and, you know, it was kind of growing fast, didn't they?
Yes, it was a quick expansion.
Right.
They grew quickly.
But it's funny that they would say that the Seattle housing market has become like that, but what just means that it's just kind of almost out of hand, isn't it?
Yes.
That's kind of a phrase that would be kind of hard to understand that if you didn't know what the Wild West was like, right?
Indeed.
But so I think they got the idea now. So then this person that had the house, that invited him to dinner, what did he do?
They directly asked, are you interested in selling your house? And the owner seemed kind of taken aback, and they just said, no.
No, right. They looked him right square in the eye. So they're not just fooling around. They directly, are you interested in selling your house? Hey, I just came to dinner. I mean, you know, what's going on here? Wasn't that kind of funny, Colin?
I think so. As they weren't being completely honest.
Well, they went there because they thought they could try to buy the house.
Yes.
And so he says, well, no, of course not. I mean, you know, that's just forget that, you know. But what happened a few days later then, Colleen?
The person received a letter from a managing broker at this Windermere Real Estate.
Windermere is one of the big real estate companies in Seattle now.
Yes, it's a large real estate company.
Well,
yes.
Don't you think you'd be surprised that when somebody comes to your house to dinner, you say, no, I don't want to sell, and then you get a letter from a real estate industry. Isn't that kind of interesting?
I would almost be offended.
Well, yeah, it was kind of... What did the letter say, Michael?
It says that the customer was interested in buying their house. It laid out terms, meaning the rules or how they would want to buy it, and that they were willing to pay for all commissions. Those are basically the fees and the process.
Who usually pays the commissions then? The one that buys it or the one that sells it, do you know? Because somebody has to pay a fee to these agencies, right?
They do. To my understanding, it's usually the purchasing buyer.
Sometimes it's also can be divided.
Either way,
commission
as well.
But
they said, well, we'll pay all the commissions. Yeah, never mind, no problem. Wow, what else did they say?
They said they were wanting to buy the house as is, which basically means they were wanting to accept the house in its current state. They didn't want the seller to change anything about it.
Now, usually when people are selling, whether it's a car or a house or whatever it is, they'll say, well, you know, you have to make improvements, or I want it in good condition, or you have to, you know, fix it up or paint it or something. No, we'll just take it like it is. Wow, what a deal.
Yeah.
As is.
Indeed. And they even offer to pay it all in cash, which is...
That's pretty unusual.
They really wanted it.
And this is the thing, you know, that they do that. And then, of course, it's kind of a temptation, because if you have to buy on time, and then sometimes people can't pay, and it becomes a problem. They're supposed to pay every month, and they lost their job. So if they pay cash, that's a good deal, isn't it?
It's a very good deal.
It's not like a good deal. He says, as is. Wow. Well... What did this man then say after that?
He said that he understood it's bad out there, but he was taken aback by how quickly they wanted to take over their place. So he said he wanted to finish living in his house, and he didn't want them to start hanging up their flat screen, also known as a TV.
That's kind of a funny way to say it, isn't it? You know, I'm not through living here yet. Ooh, I can't sell this place.
Give me time.
Give me time. You know, another 20 years. He was not interested. He said, I know it's pretty bad. I know you want to have a place to stay, but, you know, I need a place to stay too, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. And so he says, this is where I start packing up my books. And I thought it was funny that he says, hanging up your flat screen. What does that actually mean?
Hanging up your television.
Right.
So television
set. I'm not settling in my house yet because I'm not ready to move out. I need to live here too. So that was his answer. So was he going to sell it or not?
It doesn't sound like it.
No, of course not. Yeah. So that's kind of funny. That's a point blank thing situation. Now, there's kind of a mystery of all of this going on. It's talking about more about this thing. Let's read more about this social phenomena thing. Let's take the second column on page 33 and finish reading this article.
Solving the mystery. Tell me about your house, my colleague real estate reporter Mike Rosenberg asked when I told him about this social phenomena sprouting from Seattle's short supply of housing. So I told him about my place. I have a 1,200-square-foot house on a 5,100-square-foot lot. That was all he needed to hear before offering this assessment. I am living on a prime parcel for a developer with a bulldozer and a knack for density. If I responded to the Windermere letter, my little house, 117 years old, will likely be leveled and replaced with something high and boxy, covering every inch of land the city will allow. People, and especially builders, are desperate for houses, agreed Teresa Truex, a broker with Windermere. Truex went through the same thing a few years back. People kept telling her they were looking for a house in her neighborhood. By hours, she finally told someone. Within 6 months, it was a done deal. As for me, well, I'm staying put.
Well, it seems that kind of a mystery in a way, because this guy didn't say, I want to sell my house. He didn't have a for sale sign in front of his house, you know. And you, well, how did this all happen? And so this person said, tell me about your house. And then you wanted to explain this a little bit. He used the word social phenomena there. And that reminds me of the social phenomenon that we said at the beginning.
Indeed. A social phenomena is a single event, whereas in a social phenomenon is a series or multiple events.
Okay. So this, a colleague of his, who is a colleague, by the way?
A friend, usually a
same
from
profession,
work.
From the same profession.
Yes. Someone you work with.
Mm-hmm. And this fellow is a real estate reporter, and he says, this is kind of strange, you know, that this kind of thing is sprouting from. Sprouting reminds me of things growing up. It's coming from the Seattle's short supply of housing. Why would you go around and ask somebody about their house? Because there's not very many available. If there's a lot of them, you're not going to even ask them, right?
That is correct.
So that was the reason that this happened. And so what did he do then?
So he told him about my place and that he had a 1,200-square-foot home.
Mm-hmm.
But the home was on a lot of land, about 5,000 acres, and
right.
Or on a larger lot.
Wow. Well, that was pretty good. So what did he do when he heard that then?
Well, that was...
Yeah, go ahead.
He just thought that was about all he needed to hear to realize he was living on a prime, which means a very desirable piece of property.
You're right. But he says, I'm living on a prime piece of property, but why is this so important? Prime means very important. Mm. Is it important because the house is so cute and so nice? No. Why is it important?
So the importance that he's noting here is the amount of land that he has.
Mm-hmm.
His house only takes up part of the amount of land, but if a developer were to come in and tear down the house, because of the amount of land that he has, he would be able to build a lot more housing for more people and
right.
sell more
So
apartments.
Here's this cute little farmhouse place or whatever it is, but it's a prime piece of land. But a bulldozer will take down the whole house. And they want to do this because they have a knack for density. What does it mean to have a knack for density, Colleen?
That means that they can put many things in a smaller amount of
right.
space. So they can probably on this property have many apartments.
Right.
Where there was only one before, they can have many.
Now, if I saw a piece of land like that with a house and stuff, I would say, oh, isn't this nice? There's a yard. I can plant some flowers. And there's a little space. Take my dog outside, run around. No, no, we're going to just take the every inch that we can and put buildings on it. Well, that's not really very nice as far as beauty is concerned. What do you think, Michael?
That seems like it...
kind of sad.
It kind of ruins the area.
It does. And no more cute little houses, just great big buildings. That's what happened to Singapore. All you go down there and you see these huge big buildings, you know. And I thought, boy, it would, once live in tight apartments with everybody, you know, don't make any noise, people hear you. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, this is what this is. That's what's going to happen. So that's what they were talking about. And so if he responded to the letter from this Windermere agency, his little house was already 117 years old. Does that sound old? It kind of does to Americans, although in England they've got these houses that have been up for years in other places. And it's kind of old, though. But what's going to happen to this nice house, probably built by some Scandinavian that came over from Norway or something? Because they love to build houses out of wood. There's a lot of those houses in Seattle now.
Yes,
yeah,
still.
And there used to be, anyway. And so here's this old house. And what's going to happen to his house?
The house is going to be torn down and replaced with something that looks a lot more modern and probably boxy.
Yeah, not so
the shape of a square.
Right.
And it won't be as... It won't have a character like the house did.
Covering every inch of land that the city will let you have to have a little bit of space, but just a little bit. It's kind of sad in a way, too, see? But people, especially the builders, they are desperate for houses because they want to tear them down and make bigger apartments, and they can get more money out of them.
Yes,
that's kind of sad. Like, I always kind of like Seattle because you can look and see all these houses. In a lot of big cities, you can't do that anymore. I hope we keep some of those places. Don't you think so?
I think so.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, then, just tell us more one after that. What happened?
So she went through the same thing a few years back. Mm-hmm. So she's familiar with the situation. And she noticed that people kept telling her that they were looking for houses in her neighborhood.
What did she say?
So she finally said, well, why don't you buy ours?
Now, the other guy said, no, you're not going to buy mine. But she said, okay, buy ours. Then what happened?
And within 6 months, it was a done deal, meaning after 6 months after she offered them to buy hers, everything was complete, and she was out of the house, and they now owned it.
She was out of her house, and it probably became a big apartment place. But for the person that is saying this, and he says, for me, I'm not moving. I'm staying put. Staying put's a good expression.
Staying put's wonderful. It basically means you're staying where you are. You're enjoying what you have.
Now, you can do that with your house. You can do that with your job. They say a lot about the millennials that they want to change jobs about every year or two. They don't want to stay put in the same job for 10 or 20 years like their fathers did or somebody. Mm-hmm. They don't want to stay put anymore. But for me, I'm staying put, she says. And there's a certain amount of kind of loyalty involved in that, too, isn't there, staying
mm-hmm.
put?
Absolutely.
And stability, I think. I think they lose that when you go around here or there. There's no identity. What do you think, Colin?
I think that, yes, it fluctuates too much. There's not, you know, it doesn't give you a sense of maybe purpose.
Right. It's kind of nice when people say, well, my grandfather and my great-grandfather, yes. they lived here, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a family home. It's different, isn't it?
It is.
But nowadays, oh, no, we'll move someplace else, see? So it's quite different. But in Seattle, that isn't that the people always want to move, but the people that want to buy their houses are saying, okay, I'll give you a point-blank offer. So that's kind of interesting. What do you think of this article? Is that a pretty true picture of Seattle now?
I believe it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very true picture.
And one of the sad things is that it's getting more expensive, and we don't want to catch up with those other expensive cities, do we?
We do not.
No. Well, thank you all for being with us as we've studied this article, and it's good to talk to people all over the world and listening in to advance, and I hope some of you will write to us sometime. If you ever go to Seattle, be sure and visit Northwest University.
We welcome.
And tell them that you heard you on Studio Classroom. How about that?
That'd be great.
Well, good. So thanks for being with us today, everybody. Have a good day wherever you are, and if you want to, don't sell your place. Stay put, and we're glad that you're keeping up with your English with us. So be sure and look at our website and look at our mobile website and come back with us every day for a new lesson. See you next time. Goodbye, everyone.